Lord Jesus, we thank you because you've chosen us. When all forces came up and could have swayed us and could have taken us off, when the pangs of death and the hand of the enemy wanted to take us astray, your mercy said no. And you would not take your finger off us. And now here we are, Lord, to give glory to your name. And we know that we are here to do your work, and we have no ambitions. We have no plans. We have no purposes and no wills of our own. But your plan, your purpose, your will is our will. And now we thank you, Father, because you've led us into victory in Christ Jesus. And through us, you diffuse the fragrance of your knowledge in every place. We thank you, Lord, because we rise up and we go and we take this fragrance to every ends of the earth as we prepare for the return of the Master. Now I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of joining with the angels to worship you, for you are the great King and you dwell in a great city, which is our city, to which we come. Now we thank you, Father, because we belong there and we long for it. We long for it, just like the sojourners of times past who walked this earth, but they longed for a city whose maker is God. Even so, Heavenly Father, we long for that city, and we long to bring as many people as will to the knowledge of Christ, that they too shall dwell in that city. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this privilege, for you've given us a life, you've given us purpose, you've given us dignity, you've given us a role. We all know what we ought to do. We know where we fit in your plan. And we know that you depend on us, Father, for this purpose. And it is a privilege to be a part of your end time plan. Now I thank you, Heavenly Father, because you give us the grace to stand up and do what it is that you've called us to do, that not a single one of the pieces of this jigsaw goes missing, but that we fit in our places and do that which you've called us to do. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, last week, those of you who are spiritually alert noticed that there was something of a weird presence in this place. Huh? Did you notice? Because some people like think like they can mess us up with evil powers. Huh? But you know, we are way above that. Like, there is nothing in that world that can even shake us. Praise the Lord. We are way above that. So, what moves us is the power of God. Praise the Lord. And the will of God. Not the power of the enemy is totally insignificant. It is something we behold and see the people who trusted in it and how eventually they are let down by the very system they trusted in. Praise the Lord. You know, people are drawn into the occult and into the things that those people promise them because they had not previously known that success, okay, that victory belongs to Jesus. Amen. But the thing is, when people thought about getting born again, it's almost as if what the message that had been put across was you have to choose between worldly success and being, you know, born again. But you know, what we are putting across is actually you can have the best of both worlds. You be on top on this world and also go and be on top where? In the other world. Praise the Lord. Now, this is one of the lies that the Lord is confounding these days, at this time. You know, now there was this guy who was buried today. And, you know, these people go and do things. But when... Now, here is the thing about the devil. He uses people. And when you have no longer any use to him, he kills you. Before you have your chance, a chance to make up your mind and come away from there. You understand? So he breaks your heart, and when you're still there in heartbroken, then if he can. But of course, for so many people, he cannot. Amen? And then you understand that somebody, the whole world is looking at, you know, all this, and you're looking and saying, does anybody know what really, really matters in all of this? Now, that guy, before he died, he knew that he was going to die. And he was actually spotted at Zoe Grounds. Very early before any of you went there. He had come to, like, you know when you've been in that system, you know that your time is up. And you know that so many of these celebrities and what, they know. They actually even, some of them even sing about their deaths, how they are going to die. Okay? And the guy knows exactly how he's going to die, and he sings about it because he knows he entered into this covenant, he's going to become famous and die. Now, when you remember, Michael Jackson said that he was going to die at the age of 40, but he didn't, because now here is the mercies of God. He was put in that system before the age of 5 by his father. So he did not have a time to decide. You understand? So by the time he got to the point where he's supposed to be deciding, he was already in it. And you see now, here is the thing. Nobody is going to go to hell unless they've made a decision to reject Christ. Glory to God. There has to be a decision. You cannot just, you know, where something has been presented to you and you reject it. Now, where, because for him he was that, at the end, you've even had people saying that they saw him in heaven. And that is very believable because that's all he ever knew. He never knew anything. And he did not make that decision himself. But anyway, the thing is, that guy knew that his time was up. Okay, Jackson died at the age of 50, not 40. So somehow there was a grace period. But you see, he knew that from the devil tells him, now I'm going to make you the king of pop. But here is the price. You die at this age and what? And of course, when you're young, 40 sounds like so far away. Until it comes. Praise the Lord. Now this guy, he came around and he was... Now here is the thing, which some of you people have to understand. Like, when people are running away from there, like, when he comes, now like when he comes to... Like, he finds out, where can I go? Now he knows this side, his time has come. Now he's running to this side. Now... He's like a kid. He doesn't know. He knows the other world. Now, when he comes here, he's so exposed, very vulnerable. He just needs somebody to get his hand and lead him into these things. Now, usually the way that people like that survive is if somebody like led him to somebody with spiritual authority. Like, for instance, if you came to the watchman, now the thing where they die is where they are in between. Eh? The devil knows you've now sensed his lies. Now you're in between there and here. But if he makes up his mind and comes to me and I lead him to Christ, then I cover him. Then there is nothing they can do. Nothing. He will live, finish his life. Do you understand? Eh? And be raptured. Now, usually, but the good news is I actually believe that he received the Lord. Eh? Not that. But you see, here is the funny thing. Now, the people, now here is how you know. Those people, they know. Now, there are people who die and there is even no police arrest. There is nothing. So, a celebrity who is even in Colorado dies and there is no investigation. But some of the president is contributing around. Now, all those people in their world, they know this guy has been given up for death. And they go. Like, you understand? Eh? They are occult world. So, they know this guy and they cannot even defend you because the guy, you know, has a chibok. Once the devil, all his servants take a distance. And so they will come and say, we are contributing 30 million for your treatment. But they know you're going to die. Then they contribute for your funeral. But it's all... And then
So somebody is beaten. Okay, bar is closed and what? But where are the arrests? Who beat him? Is he being charged in court? Because the whole system and all those people know the real cause of death. Do you understand? Now, you see, the thing is, you can't be fooled by what is in that world. But we have to be ready, because now so many of them are going to start running. Okay? And when they come to us, we must be ready to receive them. Glory to God. Because the Lord does not will that any soul goes to hell. So we have to be ready to receive, because at that moment he's like a kid. He doesn't know where, you know, if you left a kid somewhere in a supermarket and he's looking for his parents and doesn't know, that's how those people are. He knows the other world. Now he's come here. Somebody told me he sat behind, like he was there when they were still even putting chairs and carrying carpets. The guy was there before any of you had come. Like he was running away from the other world and running where there is salvation. Praise the Lord. Now we have to be ready to receive them. Eh? Because, the devil is a liar. Eh? The devil is a liar. Like, I'll tell you this, that, like, you can almost plot their, when you see somebody hits the peak and all, and you know the forces he's using, then you know that now there is somebody else who is coming. Okay? Now even that world already has somebody whom they want to impose on us as president. And some of you actually even, like, cheer him on. Eh? Because he's a former what? Musician, and has been in parliament for a few months. But he has the anointing of the devil. Do you understand? Eh? Now you see, you should be able to discern these things. Because what is so special about somebody being in parliament for 4 months? There are people who have been there for four terms. Then the next thing, you see the guy is on Al Jazeera, 30 minutes on Al Jazeera, international channel. Now you see, when you see these things happening, you know there is a force behind them. People don't just show up like that. Do you understand? Eh? You don't just come. So what is so? So Al Jazeera. Okay, if he's on NBS and what, that's different, because they understand him here. You understand? Eh? Eh. But Al Jazeera, do they know him? Have they heard Chiwani and what? So what propels him to that place? It has to be spiritual. Praise the Lord. Eh? There is no world stardom without a force. Like it, you cannot have dominion. Eh? And where you come and everybody. Can you imagine somebody who has won a by-election? And in a short time, they have closed. They have blocked him out of the media. No media house. Then you know there is something. Eh? And then you know the people who have depended on those forces to rule know that now their master has chosen another person. Do you understand? So now they resort to fighting in the natural. Praise the Lord. So you know, the thing is, the reason I'm telling you this is, some people, you have to be discerning. Eh? Like I remember that time when, so many of you actually are, eh? And you probably saw these things. But don't just see somebody coming and, you know, he's a superstar and what, without knowing where, what power is he using to get there. Now there's the time when there was a story of accidents, eh? On Massacre Road. Eh? And actually it was called Massacre. Eh? As in the English word to Massacre. Massacre Road. So the accidents, every time accident. Eh? And you know now you see, so people start saying, you know, Ugandans have to change the way they drive, over what, brakes, tires, what. And you go into the natural, yet all the answers are spiritual. Have we just started driving badly? How come over a period of 3 months there are so many accidents? Have we just started using old tires? But you see, Eden there called me. Okay, he sent me a what? And told me that. And now you see, now this is what sensitive people in the spirit. Eh? You study things, trends, and say there has to be something behind this. Then, he's the one who brought it to my attention that Basude, eh? Haman Basude, the former Kadongo Kamu star. You see, the devil is. Some people he gives them world stardom, and other people he gives them Kadongo Kamu stardom. Can you imagine you go to hell for Kadongo Kamu stardom? So, the other guy, Haman Basude, some of you don't know him, eh? But he used to sing certain songs and what. Eh? Yeah. But others know he used to listen to his music. So, He died in a motor accident on Masaka Road. Some years ago, actually quite a number of years ago. Then suddenly some people wake up one day and say, well, we have to remember Aman Basude, we have to remember Aman Basude. So there was even, it was even on TV, they went and dug his grave and rebuilt it and, you know, put monuments around Basude and what. And immediately, road accident started on Masaka Road. And then they went. Actually, until somebody, until people prayed about it, eh? And you break it. Because you see, if the church also is going with the news, which people are driving with old tires and what, then actually the devil hammers people because you are the ones who are supposed to say, no, there's something wrong there. How come if people are dying every time? Then you stand and intercede and you keep people alive. Then you're the salt of this earth. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So now, you have to know, eh? So when you see the watchman, an international superstar, you know, by the way, let me tell you, like, that is coming up after this short break. Anyway, my point is, now the man comes and uses people, then he discards them when he finishes them, discards them. And then you go there, then he mocks you, He mocks you, and then, okay, like that is so sad. That is so sad. We must not let anybody who wants to make a decision for Christ remain in that stupid system. Now, unfortunately, now people have been having dreams about the rapture. So many people have been having dreams about the rapture. Where is Vanita? You had a dream, You come and tell us that dream. How many people have had dreams about the rapture? Because I only bring those who have told me about their dreams. You told us on radio. You were left behind. No, you was not left behind. Remind me. No. I know you were. I was joking. You are not going to be left behind. But remind me, what was the dream?
My dream was about the rapture itself, but it happened in a film where, like, it was early in the morning when I went in a trance. Then I saw suddenly a very, like, a young lady in her tender ages, but she was so beautiful and tall. She was like a giant and a fighter. She had a spear, and suddenly there was battle. So in the battle, they picked her. The elders came and picked her. They took her on a high mountain, and in the mountain there was a cave, and they told her they were going to prepare her because her husband was coming. Then I was looking. It was like these movies, they call them adventures. So, what happened is that in that, on the top of the mountain, when they took her in the cave, then they began to prepare her as a bride. Then suddenly she had a very tall spear, like a javelin. So from the top of the mountain, one of the elders threw it, and I could look at it down. It went straight, and it shoot in the ground. But there was a forest, kind of. So I asked them and said, why have you taken her from the battle? And then you are saying that she's going to get married, yet there is like a battle. But for her, she was excited and kind of like strong and bold. She was bold. She was a warrior. So suddenly, when I was still asking, they took her down like very swiftly. She was a very swift young lady, and now she was in a gown, a very beautiful gown. Now, as she was coming down, it was like I was coming down with her. Now, suddenly, like she's coming speedily, then I become her. I see, then I'm like, I'm a man, I cannot be a woman. Then I become her again, and then it's like, no, I'm a man. Then I keep on going into her, becoming her, then, you know, like coming out. Then suddenly we as she was about to reach, I would look on another mountain, but it was going up into the skies, like the clouds. Suddenly there came two men with long trumpets, and they blew them. Now there, the husband came like flying, but in a very nice suit. And at the time when he was coming, I became her. Then I was like, I'm not. You know, like I was like that. Then when the time he reached, like before we reached on the We were not on the ground. We were just there. Then he hugged me as a bridegroom can hug a wife, like a bride. Eh? And then there, I became totally the bride. Like, I became totally the bride. I could not come out to be me. Like, I was there. And, like, he was really marrying me and taking me there. Now, we came down with him, like, shh. Then, when we reached down, things changed. Then I saw a hall which was full of many people, like people who are invited on a wedding, like you can see that hall. Eh? And tables were prepared. But this is what I was in that dream. Like you see this? This is called what? An aisle. Eh? So people had even sat in the aisle like that. And they were talking so much, like as if they had overwaited for us and we are not coming. So when we stood on the way, they had not concentrated on us. Then we were telling ushers, please, 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 please. Then ushers were trying, but people were shouting a lot. And they had darkened the entire with dust, like moving. But
praise the Lord. Actually, also you had a dream about rapture, but you're scared to give it. Eh? So tell us. Actually, a number of them. Eh?
So many of them. Anyway, all of them are more or the same, but the one of late, it was just something like a line. And Jesus had come, and there were so many people who wanted things, you know, like marriage, cars. So he came and he was distributing. You know, he would call you, okay, you're going to get married, you're getting a car and what. So when he reached on me, he said, keep your thoughts on me. Then they showed how, like the timeline for him to come back was just, it's just like, let's take a break, and after this break, he's coming. But the previous ones, it would just happen, like abruptly, and people are not ready.
Do you notice that many people are actually so into their own things, eh? That, and they don't actually realize that it is imminent. Do you understand? Eh? Like it is really imminent. And now that's what is going to cause many people to be left behind. Because they are busy chasing what, chasing busy, and things which really don't matter. And actually, things which you would get the minute you put your eyes on him. And you would get them without a struggle. But people are, now, that's why we have to warn people. First of all, start by warning yourself. Because so many people have told me dreams are either left behind or what. Tell us yours.
Yes, I was at...
But summarize, don't be like Abraham. Okay. You know he's a preacher, eh? So he has to stand up, then what? Huh? He almost went to the pulpit and started opening the Bible, huh?
I was at Apostle Abraham's and Teddy's place, and we were just chatting.
In the dream? Or?
In the dream.
Okay.
We were chatting about the rapture. My fiancé was also there. So we were just chatting about the rapture, what? Then all of a sudden, Teddy's mop, she was mopping. It started shaking. Then everything around started shaking. Then just... we were gone. Then, like, we didn't realize we were gone until we reached. Like, when we reached the other place, we noticed that there were so many people. It was like an apartment building. So we looked around and were seeing so many people. Then, these of Teddy were also having their room. Even other people were having their rooms. Then, I and my fiancé went down to check out, like, the place.
I hope when it happens, you're already married. Eh? Because you have to enjoy the best of both worlds. Okay.
When we reached down, we found a lady advertising an apartment building. She said that it's better than the one we are on right now. Then we asked her how much it is, and she said some extraordinary amount. So we asked her how much we are paying here, and she said 28 million for each. Then, while she was still talking, my fiancé went to check out the other nice house. And then I started thinking to myself, but we've been raptured. How come we are paying for this? So I started to doubt whether we were raptured. I looked behind and I could see stars coming from down. That meant people were still coming. So she realized that I went to her and told her, how come we are paying yet we've been raptured? So she noticed I had, my eyes were open, so she disappeared. And then the place that was outside looked like a bit low quality kind of houses. But then when I realized, everything became beautiful. And then I saw
so many remnants coming in. Mm. Then I saw reverends with collars. Mm. Then I saw a pope coming in. Mm. So I was so shocked. I was like, a pope? Then I clapped and he passed. Then I was happy. Then I saw fruits, so many fruits. People were serving food. It was like a preparation for a feast, a huge feast. So many people, so much food, and it all looked so beautiful.
Wonderful. Okay, now, you know the flats, eh? Symbolic where you stand. Eh? If you are going to be in the Chirasha or in the pavilion, or in the pavilion, or, you know, places like that. You first of all, tell us your Antichrist dream. Eh?
Mm. Okay, so I dreamt when I was at my parents' home, and I found my dad so sad. So our house was double storied. So he's seated up there and he's very sad outside the house on those things builders stand on to paint. So I asked Daddy, why are you so sad? So I just start seeing what he's seeing. So I saw a man up on the upstairs, whatever. So I told Daddy, that's not so sad and what? So I told him, okay, people would come in and there's something that person would do. And that person would do and all. And people
that is
would
the
think
man who's standing. Eh?
Yes, mm-hmm. up. Mm-hmm. People would think it's harmless and what, but my dad was so sad. So I asked what exactly is going on. So I would see there's something they would give them and they would just slide down. Like down, right down. But then when they would get there, they were like robots. Then I saw myself get that thing and slide in. Then I realized we were all like robots. When someone would say turn, we all turn. Raise your hand, you raise your hand. And you couldn't remember what it was like to be a human. Then I realized it was the mark of the beast. So what would happen, like when you had the mark of the beast, you would remember what it was like to have a choice, but you didn't. Like when they would say, raise your hand, everyone, you were like robots. And then when you try, because I was like, let me tell Dad, it's actually really dangerous. I couldn't go back. I couldn't communicate to him. It was like you were no longer human, and those people were there as humans, and you are here. So there were a mass of people, and there was no individuality. Like you were like one, all of you. You would all march in a straight line. Everything they say you do, you couldn't think for yourself, and it was like you were dead, because you couldn't like talk to the living people and what, and yet you are still alive. Yeah.
Okay. Praise the Lord. So now you see, in the dream you said that you wanted to go and try out, eh, and see how it feels like to go down. And then you go there and then you can't come back. And it's like a lift where people enter and they go down. Now once you get there, that's it. There is no way back. And now this, what we are talking about, is so imminent that we really have a lot of work to do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have a lot of work to do. Okay, now let me go into what I actually came to preach today. Revelation chapter 7. But see, as we get closer, so many people will have dreams. Actually, I know people who had dreams when they were left behind. And they are scared. And by the way, and I'm not talking about people who are left behind who are not born again. I'm talking about people who are born again. But all their mind is on earthly things. Even things like building ministries. Do you understand? Eh? So it is, you have to really be, you know, like him, you have to really be a bride. And you know that, eh? A bride. Eh? Okay. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. The four winds of the earth. Somebody say the four winds. Yes. Now, that thing is, that phrase four winds is used about 9 times in the Bible. Four winds. But mostly it's of the heaven. Four winds of heaven. Now it's four winds of earth. That the wind should not blow on the earth
on the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribe of Judah, now he mentions all the tribes, but 144,000 were sealed. Now, of course, the big question so many people ask in this end time, who are the 144,000? So actually, people have gone and said that, do you mean only 144,000 are going to heaven? So why do we even bother? So if that is okay, but of course, we know that this is talking about of the children of Israel, and they were sealed, okay? Now, then they are mentioned again in, okay, let's first go to verse 9 of this same chapter, verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold a great multitude, which no one could number. Now, I just skipped the verses which mention 12 of the tribe of what, of the tribe of what. So this is still the continuation of the same text. I looked, and behold a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. Now I want you to see that the other ones are 144,000 of the tribes of Israel. Now here we see a great multitude standing before the throne of God and before the Lamb with their white robes, with palm branches in their hands. Now this is the rapture. Now these are the people who are raptured. Okay? But at the time of the great punishment, those people, there will be people who will be left here. The 144,000 are people who stay on earth as a remnant here on earth. And but this is after the church has been raptured. Okay? Now I'll tell you a bit of what these people are, but let's go to Revelation chapter 14 first and see also where it is mentioned. Then I looked, and behold a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having their father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like a voice of a loud thunder, and I heard the sound of the harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women. Somebody say amen. For they were virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Now, the word first fruits is used in reference to Jesus, actually. And does not say first fruit. It says first fruits to God. And in their mouth was found no deceit. Somebody say amen. For they were without fault before the throne of God. Okay, now. So there are 144,000 people. Now we see an angel being sent out to go and seal people before a judgment of God. Now you have to understand that every time you read something like that and you want to, you know, decode it, you just look where else in the Bible something similar has happened. Okay? Now usually if it is in the New Testament, there must be some kind of reference to it in the Old Testament as well. So then you see that in Ezekiel chapter 9, is actually the only other place where you'll find an angel going to seal people before the judgment of God. But that time it was before the judgment of Jerusalem and before, you know, because Ezekiel was one of the first captives of Israel. Now, he is prophesying from the kingdom of Babylon about what is happening in Judah, which has yet to be captured, which is still ruling themselves. But for him, having been in Israel, was already in Babylonian captivity, because there is almost a time of 120 years between when Israel fell and when Judah fell. Now he's seeing the temple in Judah, and the Lord is showing him how Judah is sliding towards captivity. And He's seeing the things, the abominations which were in the temple. He's in Babylon, a captive, in exile. But he moves in the spirit and God shows him what the priests are doing in the temple. And they were mishandling offerings. Some of them were sleeping with women who had come to bring their offering in the temple. And some of them in the Holy of Holies. Like, they completely desecrated it. And they were doing witchcraft there. They were doing what? And, you know, worshipping the God of the sun. So Ezekiel is seeing all those things. Now, when God is bringing the judgment, he says, that he sends an angel to go and seal those people. And the qualification was so simple. Only those who grieve at the iniquity, at what is happening, only those who are, look at it and are grieved. So the angel comes and seals them. Their number is not mentioned. But when judgment comes, they are spared. Now we know that the whole thing of the final 3.5 years, now anybody who has been attending this ministry knows it, okay? Knows that there's a seven-year agreement, the first 3.5 years, then the second 3.5 years. Now, the final 3.5 years is judgment from the king, who is the Antichrist, from the devil. You remember the scripture which says the devil came down on earth with great fury, knowing that his days are numbered. Eh? Let's read it, because you know there are so many people who come and sometimes we presume that people know. And war broke out, Revelation 12:7. And war broke out in heaven. And Michael and the angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Now this is not talking about what happened before. Michael did not fight with the devil before. Do you understand? The fall of the devil did not involve angels fighting with. It involved God casting them out. And them coming to the second heaven. From where they influence the things on earth. Okay? Not the third heaven where God dwells. Now the second heaven. Now here, Michael comes and his angels comes and fights with him from the second heaven. Now this happens after the abomination of desolation, the final 3.5 years. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, strength, and kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell on earth, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that his time is numbered. Now, when that happens and he's chased out of there, then he knows he has 3.5 years before he's put into the bottomless pit. Now, the time is definite. Right now, there are so many things he can do to change the time. Do you understand? Like, there's no definite time when Jesus is supposed to come. There has to be a sense of readiness for the church. And if the devil can mess up the church longer, he can actually prolong his time. Do you understand? Eh? Now, it's scripture. I will take that to you one day. Some of you think that's controversial, but it isn't. So, but that time when that happens, now it is a sealed time. 3.5 years, and he's going to be cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. So, now the devil comes down with great wrath, with all his demons. By down, it means down here. So your neighbor, you look and it's a demon. If you're still here, but you shouldn't be. Eh? Don't be like Abraham was. Like, so you shouldn't be. Eh? So, then the Revelation 16 talks of the vials, the bowels of God's wrath. So, the devil is coming with wrath. God is coming with wrath. Then the political system and the economic system are coming with wrath. And it is all squeezed within 3.5 years. That's why Jesus said that there will be a time of wrath such as has never been, neither will ever be, because it is the wrath of 3 people. Okay? So now Revelation, or rather Ezekiel 9 gives us a parallel of people being sealed before that. But then also there's a scripture which I want us to read in Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 12. The word of the Lord came again to me saying, Son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread, send a famine, cut off man and beast from it. Okay? Now, he said, even if these 3 men Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord. Go ahead. If I cause wild beasts to pass through the land, and they empty it, and make it so desolate that no man may pass through because of the beasts, even though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord, they would deliver neither son nor daughters. Only they would be delivered, and the land would be desolate. Now I want you to see one thing. Why those three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job? There is a reason why. Noah was saved out of the judgment of God. Okay? Daniel was saved from the judgment of a king who threw him in a den of lions. Job was saved from the judgment of the devil. You see? Now, all these three judgments are going to be there at that time. But there is a bit of a difference here. So he says that they would not... They would not say, they would say, Daniel didn't have children. You know, he was a eunuch. Eh? A eunuch means they castrated him. Eh? You could not serve in the king's palace, eh? Unless you're a eunuch. Because the king would have so many wives, so they don't trust you with them. Eh? So they first castrate you before you serve in the king's palace. Because you can go and mess up the king's wife. Eh? Okay. But Noah rescued his sons. Eh? And Job, okay, his sons died, but he got others. And the land would be there. So let's go ahead. Or if I bring a sword on the land and say, sword, go through the land, and I cut off man and beast from it, even though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters, but only they themselves would be delivered. Go ahead. Or if I send a pestilence into the land and pour out my fury on it in blood and cut off from it man and beast, even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord, they would deliver neither son nor daughter. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. For thus says the Lord God, how much more shall it be when I send my four severe judgments on Jerusalem? The sword, famine, wild beasts, and pestilence. To cut it off from man and beast. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 6, verse 7. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and heads followed him. And power was given him over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with pestilence, that is death, and with the beasts of the earth. Do you see? What was in Ezekiel is what is here. Now, Ezekiel was talking about something, but now this is talking about now. But as Bible prophecy is, there is a parallel. Like all these things I picture. Now, here I mentioned the four things. Let's go back to the previous one. Ezekiel 14:21. Even if I said, when I send my four severe judgments on Jerusalem, the sword, famine, wild beasts, and pestilence. Okay, now go back to the next one. Fourth of the earth, to kill with the sword, hunger is famine, death is pestilence, and by the beasts of the earth. Now, so as it was, so is it going to be. Now, here is the thing. How does this answer the question of who are the 144,000 people are? First of all, there are many theories, which I'm going to kind of expound on a bit, just for the sake of, which we can't say for sure who they are. But I want you to notice that these 144,000 are people of the Jews who will stay here to fight for their brethren in the time of the Great Tribulation. Now, there will be the two witnesses in that time who will stand up against the kingdom of Antichrist, but there will also be 144,000 who have a seal. Now, the seal means that they cannot be touched, because at the end of the 3.5 years, they are all there. Okay? Now, to understand this, why 144,000, you have to understand, you know, the sequence of numbers in the Bible. And we've studied this before. We know what the number 3 is. We know what the number 5 is. 5 stands for grace. We know that 6 stands for humanity. 7 stands for divinity. 9 is actually a number mostly associated with the occult. 9 and 13 and 25 and 33. 9, 13, 25, and 33 are associated with the devil. occult and devil. But we know 10 is completion. But we know 12, the one I'm interested in, 11 and 40 are numbers of trial. Okay? Trial. 40 days in what? Fasted 40 days, fasted, you know, in Israel, in the wilderness, 40 years, 40. All the time it's about a period of trial. 12 is a number of divine government. Divine government. So, you see in Matthew 26, start from 51. And suddenly one of those who were with him, Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who live by the sword perish by the sword. Okay. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me more than 12 legions of angels? Now, there's a reason why Jesus says 12. You know, there's nothing, because he's saying, then he goes on to explain that this has to happen. Now, he's explaining to his disciples that the government of which I am is not this one. This has to happen. Now, put your swords back, because that's not your way of fighting. If I really wanted, I could call the heavenly government and they send 12. Now, you know the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles of the Lamb, 12. Now, but you know in the scripture, when a number appears three times, the same number, then it means it is the peak of it, except 7. 7 does not appear three times because 7 is a number of God and it cannot be, you know, it cannot be improved. But you see, 6 is a number of humanity. 66 is a number of the peak of humanity. Now, 666 is a number of a man, the Bible says, but the number of the Superman, the Antichrist, who has both godly and human powers, but in a human form. So now when you see three of those numbers going together, you know that it's talking. For instance, in the book of 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 14, when it's talking about the peak of Solomon's wealth, the weight of gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents. In other words, they're telling you he came to the peak of how rich somebody can be, humanly. Anything beyond that is divine. So he had 666 talents of gold. Now that's the richest person according to the scripture. So in every year. Now these numbers don't just appear anyhow, praise the Lord. Now so 12, you notice that 144,000 is 12,000 times 12. Okay, now when you read in the book of Numbers, I'm trying to explain to you something which is a mystery, which so many people have tried to find out. Who are the 144,000? If you look at the book of Numbers, chapter 31, I believe, the very last battle that the children of Israel fought under Moses before they went into the promised land was against Midian, was against the Midianites. And this was a key battle, Numbers 31, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take vengeance on the Midianites for the children of Israel. Afterwards, you shall be gathered to your people. In other words, you will die. Okay? And then he said, so Moses spoke to the people, saying, arm yourselves for war and let them go against the Midianites to take vengeance for the Lord on Midian. 1,000 from each tribe of all the tribes of Israel, you shall send them. Now, all the 12 tribes, he chose 1,000 each. So 12,000 people went to fight against the Midianites, which was the last battle before the promised land. Now, you know, all these things have a seamless. Now, the last battle before heaven will also be similar to the last battle before they entered the promised land, in this case, and when Moses, the servant of God, died, and afterwards they entered the promised land. Now, but there's one thing strange that happened in this battle. Go to verse 48. Something unique happened in this. It was not like any other battle. Then the officers who were over the thousands of the army, the captains of the thousands and the captains of the hundreds, came near to Moses. And they said to Moses, your servants have taken account of the men of war who are under our command, and not a single one of us is missing. In other words, they sent 1,000 from each tribe, 12,000 all together, and they went and fought, and all 12,000 came back. Not a single casualty. Now that is a unique thing. But it is a picture, because when you see the 12,000 that time and the last battle of when the 144,000 are protecting Israel towards the end, now you get the 12 and the 12. You understand? So the 12,000, but you see you had the second 12 to get the peak of it. But now when you see the city of God, which is mentioned in Revelation 21, that's when you see the three 12s. Now, three 12s have to be the perfect, in others, the end of, that is the peak of divine government. Now, as long as it's on earth, it will be 12, two 12s. I'll give you an example. Do you know that the national anthem is not supposed to be sung more than once, and this, the stanzas, there are three. According to protocol, it is sung only once any other time. The only time it is sung twice is when the head of state is around. Now, the only time it is sung the three stanzas is on independence anniversary. Now, of course, people mess this up, but you cannot sing three stanzas of the national anthem except on 9th October of every year. And you cannot sing the second stanza unless the head of state is in attendance. All these other functions, you sing one stanza. Do you understand? Now, there is a parallel to this. The three 12s are only in heaven when the divine government. Now, Jesus says, I can call 12 legions of angels, more than 12 legions. So I can summon the heavenly government, but I will not, because this has to happen. So now, 12 times 12, 144,000, are the parallel of Moses, the people whom he sent for the final battle. Now, these people are going to go, and they will have a seal on them. They will go through the great tribulation, and they will not be touched. Because in Revelation 14, after the great tribulation, all of them show up before the throne, and they are special. Why are they sent there? Because they have to protect Israel. Because, remember, the whole world will be against Israel. So God puts these people, and they are special. Actually, it mentions them in the book of Micah. Now, I want you to see that, by the way, this is now a serious Bible study. Now, I want you to see that all these, there are parallels in the Bible. From, you know, the journey from Egypt all the way to the promised land is a parallel in all our lives. And it happens all the time. It's the same thing. You understand? And all these things are all put there as, you know. So, in Micah chapter 5, it says, but you, Bethlehem, though you were little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Okay, you know what that means. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Now I want you to see, she who is in labor. Who is in labor? Who is in labor? Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. And then being with child, she cried out in labor and pain to give birth. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go back to Micah. So who is in birth? You know that the sun and the moon and 12 stars symbolize Israel, correct? Okay. Now, the Messiah is about to give birth to the church. Okay, Israel, you know. Therefore, he shall give until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. Now, I want you to see, there are certain things here which, okay, I'm going to blow some of your minds a bit. Eh? Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel and shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, or to the end of the earth. And this one shall be peace. Okay? Now it says, when the Assyrian comes into our land, the Assyrian is another name for the Antichrist. When the Assyrian comes into our land, and when he treads in our places, then we will rise again against him, 7 shepherds and 8 princely men. They shall waste with the sword and the land of Assyria and the land of Nimrod. Nimrod is another what? Antichrist. Remember I told you that? Nimrod. The Antichrist spirit is the spirit of Nimrod. Okay. Now these people stand up against the Antichrist. Then he shall deliver us from the Assyrian, from the Antichrist, when he comes into our land, and when he trades with our borders. Now the scripture says these 144,000 will have divine powers so strong that when the Antichrist wants to come into Israel, which is what he will want to do, they will stand there and create a border. You can't pass here. And the Bible says in the next verses, let's read them, that they're actually like lions among lambs. So the best of the Antichrist power is like lambs. And these men are like lions. So they cannot touch the children of Israel. Now they will create a boundary for the remnant of Israel, people who are here, the Jews, who will still not have believed in Christ. And they will stand and be like a wall. So anybody who gets behind them, the Antichrist and his army cannot touch them. Okay? Now that's the purpose for them being there. Let's read verse 8. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many peoples, like a lion among the beasts of the forest, like a lion among flocks of sheep, who, if he passes through, both treads down and tears in pieces, and none can deliver. Your hand shall be lifted against your adversaries, and all the enemies shall be cut off. Now, I want you to see that there are a few things here which are important. First of all, let's go back to verse before I blow your mind. Okay. Verse 3, where we came from. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children. The remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. Remember that. The remnant of his brethren. Whose brethren? Jesus. The remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. What does that even mean? Okay, let's read some scripture here, which is now I'm beginning to blow up your mind. Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts, in all the environs. Actually, in some places it says all the coasts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they were no more. You know the scripture. Now, here is the thing. Do you know that Jesus grew up with no agents? All the people of his age around that period had been killed by Herod. There was nobody within 2 years of him at the time of his growing up. So Herod killed all of them except the one he wanted, because the one he wanted went to Egypt. Now, it says that it may be the women were mourning. Now, he quoted the other scripture of, you know, that it may be fulfilled, which was written by the prophet, saying, a voice heard in Ramah, lamentation. Okay? Now, go to Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15. And we see where he got this quotation from, where he picked it from. Thus says the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children, because they are no more. Okay, verse 16. Now listen to this. Thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping, and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord. And they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border. Children who have died are coming back to their own border. Now, does that, I mean, how weird is that? That they are crying and say, don't worry, they will come back to your own border. Now, the other scripture read in Micah says, the remnant of his brethren shall return to Israel. Now, when you look and see, what plan did God have for those innocent children who were killed because they were trying to kill the Messiah? Now, there is a theory that actually their souls will return and be the 144,000. Now, the actual scriptures, which, okay, there is no confirmation to this, they are in mind, but there is this thing, the remnant of his brethren will return to the borders. Now, here it is saying, let's go back to Micah chapter 5, where we are. Micah chapter 5, verse 3. Therefore, you shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. We know who is in labor, and we know what the time is, the final 3.5 years. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. Of his brethren, the people who should have grown up with, his agents, he was supposed to be playing duro with, and they were killed by Herod. Now, there is a possibility, okay, that these actually are the people who will come back. And now when you read Ezekiel 37, now listen to this. Revelation 14. Revelation 14, verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. Okay? And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of thunder, and I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, for the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women. Eh? So is there any likelihood that a two-year-old was defiled with women? For they are virgins. Eh? Is there a likelihood that a two-year-old is a virgin? These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Okay? These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits. Now, they are called the same name as Jesus, first fruits, to God and to the Lamb. Go ahead. And in their mouth was found no deceit. Does that sound like a two-year-old? For they are without fault before the throne of God. Now, who qualifies? Okay, now let's go to Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah 53, verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? Of course, it's all talking about Jesus. Who will declare his generation, his age mates, his, you know, colleagues? For he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgressions of my people. He was stricken. Okay? And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence. Remember there it says, the other people, no deceit. Eh? No violence. He had done no violence, nor was any deceit in him. The other side it says there is no guile in him. So the perfection with which they mention the Messiah is almost the same as the perfection which they, these people, because they died, you know, at that age. So now, it is possible, okay, that they could be the ones. Okay? Possible. Am I making sense? Let's go back to Revelation 7, verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. The four winds, eh? The four winds of the earth. Okay, now let's go to four winds, eh? Four winds of the earth. Now let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37. That famous scripture. Of course, it has been made to mean so many things, and it very probably means all those things. Eh? But you see, you cannot have a scripture to mean one thing, and then you block off any other revelation that comes through it. Amen? So people have preached it to mean marriage, to mean what, to mean anything. Eh? And they are, all of them are right. Okay? But there's the other things. So you know the story. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out, the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. Now, where do you think the kids who were killed by Herod were buried? Is it possible they could have been buried in the same place? I think it's likely. Okay. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones. Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will put sinews in you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and breath in you, and shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as was commanded, and I prophesied there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy and son of man, and said to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, eh? Same place, eh? Or breath, and breathe on this slain, that they may live. So I prophesied and commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they stood upon their feet, exceedingly great army. Exceedingly great army. Would 144,000 people be a great army? Okay? Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Or you could say they are from the whole house of Israel. Or from the 12 tribes of Israel. 12,000 for me. I don't know. I'm just speculation, eh? Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Remember it says the Messiah was cut off. This one's also cut off. Okay. And it's actually the same word. Then he says, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Now elsewhere it says, they will return to your border. Remember it says Rachel was mourning, and they said, don't mourn. Those children will return to your border. Then it says they are returning to your Israel. Now here it's saying these people, this great army is returning to Israel. Okay, Now, that may or may not mean what I'm making it to mean, but we're just studying the Bible. Okay. But who are these people whose graves are opened up? And I opened your graves and brought you up from your graves. Okay. And bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and it shall be performed. Now, this theory, and it's only a theory, is these people have a chance to come and relieve. And they actually are from all of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. And they come and they are reborn. Now, some people will say that's very controversial. How is that possible? I don't know. But then they come back. How are the two witnesses? How did they come back? You know the two witnesses. Some people say they are Enoch and Elijah. Others say Moses and Elijah. But how do they come back? So, these guys come back and actually are empowered. But here is the important thing. They're empowered by God to stand and protect the nation of Israel in the final days. And they are, the Bible says they are spread out across to protect anybody who does not want to get the mark of the beast from not getting it in those 3.5 years. Because there will be people here who do not want to receive the mark of the beast, and there will be tribulation and they will have to run and what, but God will send people to somehow keep them until the 3.5 years are over and Jesus Christ comes back, okay, and sets his foot on earth. Now, the scripture also says in Revelation 14, where we've read, that these 144,000 are the ones who welcome the Lord on the Mount of Olives. And they welcome him as if they are his brethren. You understand? So when he comes down on earth, they are the ones standing there waiting for him. Now, we know that the Mount of Olives, they have tried so many times to surround it with, you know, actually, before Israel took over Jerusalem, the Arabs surrounded the Mount of Olives with a strong army, saying that when the Messiah comes, they will shoot him. When the Christian Messiah comes, they will shoot him. Of course, now it's under Israel, who also don't believe this. But so now we see what the Bible says in the final days, as I complete. What the Bible says in the final days is the whole world comes against Jerusalem and against the Jews who are protecting Jerusalem with their lives. So they stand, and the Bible says, a third of the city falls. Then they are taken, you know, they are being cornered after a third of the city. And now the whole world army comes. And remember last, in 2016, United Nations, you remember that bill we talked about, which was sponsored by Obama, saying that Israel has no connection to the city of Jerusalem. So now, if the world came to chase Israel out of Jerusalem, they will not be breaking any of the international laws. Because according to the international laws, Israel in Jerusalem is a chiwani. They have never been there. Jerusalem belongs to the Palestinians, according to the international law. So now, that was the foundation being set for this attack. So they come and attack them, and a third of the city falls. They are being squeezed. Then they go further. Now, can the nation of Israel fight the whole world? Perhaps, naturally, no. But if there are 144,000 people who have the seed of God and they cannot be killed, then the answer is yes. So they are the ones who stand between the world army and with these people, and they stand and protect them until the Bible says when the third of the city falls, then they are standing there, then they are desperate, then they have run out of ammunition, then they don't know what to do, and they don't think they have the ability to win the war. Then when that happens, then Israel, who are still waiting for the Messiah, they realize that if the Messiah doesn't come now, then they are going to be wiped away. So they cry out to God and say, if there is ever going to be a Messiah, he has to come now, otherwise there will be no Israel. So then, we've talked about this before. Zechariah 12 says, actually Zechariah 11 and 12 say, then suddenly, at that moment, the Messiah shows up. Only, he's Jesus, which they never believed. Then he shows up, and then the Bible says the world armies which are in Jerusalem all melt away. As soon as he comes, the world armies, remember that incident I told you, which Prophet Elvis told me, when people scream, eh? Because all those people now have taken the mark of the beast. They are going on orders, like she said. There is not, they have no mind of their own. They are all being told now, go and attack. Now, when the skies open, which the Bible says in Revelation chapter 7, the sky is opened, like the Bible says, it is rolled away like a scroll. And then everybody who is living on earth looks up and sees the throne. And then they see Jesus coming down. Then the earth is in darkness. And then they scream because they can't stand the light of the Messiah. Now they scream. The only people who are not screaming are those who have not taken the mark of the beast and the Jews. Now when the Messiah comes and all the world, the scripture says they run into the caves, you know that scripture, and they say, tell the caves, fall on us and save us from the wrath. And he hasn't even done anything. It's just the light, which is too much for them because the world is covered in darkness. Now, then he comes and then the Jews run to him. And now, of course, they know he's the Messiah because he has rescued them. So, the Bible says in Zechariah, then one of them asks him, Messiah, what are those wounds in your hands? Then he answers and says, I got these wounds in the house of my brethren. Then suddenly, all the Jews, all those years of their minds being blocked, are opened. And they say, so, you were Jesus all along. Of course, now if you read what the Jews think about Jesus, man, try telling a Jew that Jesus is the Messiah. Man, it's not easy. They actually, you'd rather be anything else. They despise the idea that guy who came and died on a cross can be the Messiah, because they believe the Messiah, son of David, is supposed to come and rescue them like the King David did and kill all their enemies, and that's how they believe it. Now Jesus comes and like, you know, when you say, okay, the miracles are not, you remember when he turned the loaves into a, the scripture says they wanted to go and forcefully make him king. Now, that was them trying to believe that he might be the Messiah. So when they want to believe, they actually want to go and force him to be king, because in their mind, the Messiah is supposed to be king. But Jesus is saying, no, I'm a king, but not here. I'm a king elsewhere. Now, that one they could not understand. Even the disciples, by the way. That's why when he told them he's going to die, they were very disillusioned. That's why Peter went back fishing. These ones were, because they thought he was going to be king on earth. Then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says that, when they saw him resurrected, they said, now, are you going to now hand over the kingdom to Israel? They were still thinking that there's going to be a natural kingdom. Now, Jesus told them, it's not up to you to know those things. It's only when the Holy Spirit came that they realized, hey, there is a kingdom, but it is not here. You understand? You remember when on the road to Emmaus, they are walking saying, man, there's this guy who was king, man, everybody thought he was going to be the one, but now they killed him. Because they don't believe that the Messiah is supposed to come and... Now, that's the typical Jewish mindset, minus the Holy Spirit. So now, there is no way they could have believed Jesus is the Messiah. Now, when he comes now and crushes their enemies like they knew he would, then they would believe him. Only they would say, hey, so you were Jesus. Because, of course, the story of the crucifixion is known by everybody. So when they see wounds in his hands, then they will know, oh, so all along, Jesus was the Messiah. Now, they will be saved, all of them who are surviving at that time. And... yeah, then the millennium. Then I finished preaching. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to pray for, you know, now we are serious sicknesses. How are you feeling? Are you better? Are you, yes or no? You actually kind of look better. Glory to God. Now I'm going to point out some, but Rika Bazanta Rabashio for Setterisham. Riga Rosetterisham Lachasito, Vashere Makura Brazin Rosho Brozo. Rika Marazenta Rabashika Brazenta Rabashet. I'm seeing as if there's a child who has either one of your children, but a serious digestive system issue. Like no. Like they can't pass stool properly and what, and it's bad. Then I'm seeing somebody else who is
kidney issues. Kidney, actually there is dialysis involved. Kidney is the one which causes people to go to dialysis. Eh? It's kidney, eh? Okay, not liver. Eh? No, it's kidney, okay. I mean, drinking erodes. So if you are those people, come forward. Eh? If or it's one of your folks is like that, come forward. One of the people you know, especially the child thing. What's yours?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Issues.
How old is she?
No, not that sure.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Uh-huh. The dialysis thing or the kidney, whatever. Now, okay, I'm also seeing drugs. Eh? Drugs, you stand there. I'm seeing somebody who... Now, this one is not a relative. Eh? Somebody who... What's yours? Workmate. Eh? Okay. I'm seeing... what was I saying? Yes, drugs. Somebody who is actually on drugs. Eh? What's yours?
Relative.
So the drugs person has to come to get delivered. Substance abuse, serious substance abuse. Unfortunately, you have to come if you are going to be delivered. I would wish I would say stay back, but no. What's yours? Who? You, eh? You have hypertension. You carry drugs in this thing, eh? The bag has First Peter. Wow. But you carry drugs in it, eh? No, it's okay. It's okay. Wow. I'm still waiting for the drugs person, eh? Or I will close and... Like, don't be ashamed, eh? It's more important that you're delivered than that you look good. Eh? Yes. Okay. What's yours? Hey, your brother, kidney. Is he on dialysis? Do you know what dialysis is?
I'm not sure, but I had a bit.
I take pleasure in washing. Let's start with this one of the kid. You said she's 4 years, eh? She's your niece, eh? Me, I like the name Gabriela. Does any of you know Gabriela? Gabriela, a lady. Okay. What's her name?
Emmanuela.
Okay, in the name of Jesus. You said she has digestive issues, eh?
Yes, she cannot pass 4 months.
Yes, that's her. That's her. Okay, now, I speak healing in her body.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And now, let me... Rika bazantara vashio. Speak in tongues. Also. Reshoro kurozantere shira mazantara. Robazantara vashio kurozantara shira mazantara. Romo reki lafila mazantara romo shita mazantara. Reka mazantara romo shira mazantara romo shira mazantara. Okay. In the name of Jesus, Emmanuela. Emmanuela, I speak healing upon her body in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Where do the parents stay?
Where?
Okay. Ria Masantarva Shoke. So the healing power of God touches her in the name of Jesus. And you'll actually go and be the point of contact. Eh? And just lay your hands on her. And this power passes on and she's healed. Eh? And she has a normal childhood. Eh? And her digestive system is normalized. I rebuke the spirit of infirmity in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You said yours is what?
It's my mom.
What's so? Kidney. Is she on dialysis? Just medicine. Drips. Okay. What's she called?
Jane.
Okay, in the name of Jesus, I also hear the point of contact. Eh? Go and tell her that you're healed. In Jesus' name, I rebuke that diabetes and I declare that she is set free from it. Eh? And all the damage that it has done to her body,
yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. The feet, the weakness in the legs and so on.
Yeah, she has it.
Yeah, and... So in the name of Jesus,
thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Because all the effect of it, eh?
Yes.
Vanishes.
Amen.
In 1 month.
Eh? Amen. Amen.
The side things of the diabetes in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
And she gets strong.
Amen.
Her legs, feet, you know, get stronger.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. What's yours?
Amen. Dialysis.
Dialysis. Eh? Who is it?
My auntie.
Okay. Okay. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing.
Amen.
Upon what's she called?
Nali Ali.
Okay, I speak. Okay, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing upon her.
Amen.
And the healing power of God touches her. Now, she's looking for, a donor, something, kidney donor.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
And has she found one?
No.
Okay, she will not need that. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus,
amen.
I speak that healing upon her.
Amen.
Upon Nadi Ali. Eh? What's her first name?
She's Mrs. Mangeni.
Okay. You want it. But okay, the healing power of God touches her. What's yours?
Drugs.
Okay. Now, okay, I remove that desire from you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Rika Bazantarwa Shikokoro, and in the name of Jesus, it is withdrawn from you. And now the desire for it dies from within. The hand of God touches you. And now I'm this guy here loves the Lord, really loves the Lord. And it has been a big issue for him. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. And actually, when you're sober, you actually love the Lord, you pray, you read the Bible, and so on. Yeah, but the sobriety doesn't last very long. Eh? Now, I'm taking that desire for drugs away from you, in the name of Jesus, and you'll stand firm on your feet, and it is withdrawn from inside you, in the name of Jesus, and even from your blood, in the name of Jesus. Now, something touches you right now, and covers you, and you'll wake up, and you'll be a different person. You'll be a different person. You'll want to move away from those friends who are taking you to eat. They will actually, they'll look for you and they will not be able to find you because you are going to just cut off from them completely and you'll wake up a new person, renewed, afresh. And even all the things that were stopped by the drugs, education, all those things, things which were where you were messed up. I'm seeing further education, which you are supposed to, true?
Yes.
Eh? Yes. And so now it is all revived. Eh? It has all been revived.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Eh? Amen. You're free. Eh? Okay. Your workmate. Eh? Okay. You go and pray for her. Just take this healing power in the name of Jesus. Shall I touch? Amen.
Amen.
Okay. You may be seated. Yours is what? Hypertension. Eh? Okay. Let me see the drugs.
Now I'm reduced to 2 doses.
Okay. Okay, I normalize your blood pressure.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I decree that you are well. Eh?
Amen.
And the healing power of God touches you. Eh?
Amen.
Now you go home.
Amen.
And you check yourself. Eh?
Thank you.
You have a machine, eh?
Normally I do it at work.
Okay. Go and check yourself, eh? Tomorrow, eh?
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
In the name of Jesus,
amen.
I decree that you're healed. I rebuke that pressure. And I command it to normalize and stabilize right now in the name of Jesus. Eh?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. First come. Okay. Stretch your hands to her. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for a good report. I thank you because any infirmity is uprooted from its root in the name of Jesus. And now I speak a healing power of God that makes your body whole and makes you a conveyor of healing. So not only are you healed, but you are going to heal many. In the name of Jesus, because the healing power of God resides in you. Now you are going to lay hands on people and they will be healed. of all sorts of sicknesses, of cancer, what, and all those things. Eh? And you'll even be looking for them in hospitals, because the Lord is giving you this ability in the name of Jesus. And now you're a problem solver in the area of healing. Amen. Amen. God bless you. So, so if you have any sickness, by the way, let me tell you, like, the Lord has been, I'm talking serious sicknesses, because the things we are talking about now, some of you might have the faith to get healed. Now, some of you just come here and we heal you, if you don't have the faith. Okay. Anybody who has any kind of sickness, just stand up. Let's pray for all sicknesses at once. Any sort of sickness, just stand up. Or disease or what? Okay, you declare healing on them.
And Father, in the name of Jesus, as we stand on your word, every sickness, every disease, whether it is cancer, whether it is pressure, whether it is asthma, that foul spirit, right now in the name of Jesus, I command every sickness, every disease out of your body now. Father, these are the temple of your Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord dwells in, no sickness, no disease has got to live in them. And now in the name of Jesus, everyone is being set free. Everything is being reversed. Things caused by the demonic attacks, things caused by any kind of spiritual wickedness from the underworld. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen. Be gone now.
Amen.
And come back no more in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You are free now. You are free now, amen. Completely free. Amen. In the name of Jesus, you've been set free. You've been set free. Just go and check yourself. You've been set free. You've been delivered. All of you. You've been delivered in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Now I want you to point your hands towards this young boy. What's it called? Jacob. Jacob had autism. Okay. Now we are reversing this condition in the name of Jesus. Now I want you to point your hands towards him and just rebuke autism. And decree normalcy in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that spirit of infirmity, that spirit that causes autism, in the name of Jesus. I command it to come out of his body in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, any damage that has been caused by it is reversed right now in Jesus' name. And Jacob grows to become a normal. How far is he from 12?
He's 9 this year.
Okay. Mm. Now, every faculty will be fully and complete. Every cognitive faculty will be fully seen. And he will be totally normal. Physically, mentally, and in every way by
Amen.
The age of 12.
Amen.
But now the healing is already effected.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And
Amen.
He grows to the fullness of his stature.
Amen.
Mentally and in every way,
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I thank you, Father, because your healing power touches him.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You had something to say? Quickly. Where is the mic?
Praise God.
Amen.
There is someone who got involved in an accident, but you got a problem with the lower part of your right leg, and I saw 4 times you got involved in an accident 4 times. This is what I saw when I was praying. If you are this kind of person, one person, because you are meant to be traveling a lot, you're supposed to be doing your career in traveling. Right foot, lower part of it. Is there anybody? Or you know a person who is got involved in that kind of accident, but he has affected the lower limb. I mean, this bone here, the lower part of it. And another person with this, the tissue, I mean, this on the neck. You have a problem with this neck. This, or relative having that kind of problem. Okay. I have delivered. He chose not to. Yes.
I have a friend. The brother got an accident, and this tissue is not moving on the right side.
Right.
And and he's admitted. Yeah.
Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. How long has he been there?
This is the third day.
Fourth, third day. Fourth. Not fourth day. Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you. For you preserved this life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for his well and declare healing in his body. I want you to where is the man? Mengo Hospital. Thank you, Father, for release your angels, minister healing unto him in the name of Jesus. Tonight, okay, let us pray for this. Let us all raise up hands to him. Let him. It's a critical condition because I saw he's meant to do that work. If he loses that, he's not really going to lose life, but shouldn't be discouraged about it. He's meant to travel and do that work. In the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, thank you. We release healing unto him in the name of Jesus. As we are here, we agree to restore him in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, get your offering out, pray for it. And Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for the anointing to prosper. I thank you, Father, because each and every person who connects here is turned on onto this anointing, and it affects their lives in every way in the name of Jesus. Father, I rebuke any sort of wasting time, because I'm seeing so many people, you're on the path of your prosperity, but then something comes and diverts you, and you somehow lose it and lose time. Now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that everyone will know that this is the path, and they will stick to it, and they will not be diverted, because the enemy's tactic is to divert people and to put them in places of unfruitfulness where their time is wasted. Now, in the name of Jesus, I cover you from that. And you shall only step on fruitful ground. You shall only take paths that are of the Lord and that lead you to your next level. In the name of Jesus, you shall not be diverted. You shall not be confused. You shall not be... Now, I'm even seeing somebody who, like a woman, you actually are on the verge of something really big. But there is a trouble. There is a man whom you're kind of interested, but he's confusing you and you know it. But you like what he's saying, but you know he's a confuser. But you think you can handle the two of them together. Now, in the name of Jesus, I separate you from that deception.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, I decree that you are free from it.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And you stand on that path of prosperity.
Amen.
So that we shall be testifiers of the goodness of the Lord in the area of finance.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.